Brought with you a copy of the Word of God this morning. I do want to encourage you, please, to open it up with me to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter number 5. I want you to find verses 13 through verse number 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through verse number 16. Preaching today on this subject, salt and light. Salt and light. Continuing to look at the Sermon on the Mount this morning. Matthew chapter 5, I have the New King James Version of the Bible with me. Now, if you found that portion of the Word of God, and if you are able, would you stand with me, please, as we share together in the reading of God's holy, His inerrant, and His infallible Word. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 13. The Bible says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the home. Let your light shine before men, that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father, we again come into your presence this morning in the great name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for giving us eternal life. Thank you for allowing us the privilege of being a part of the United States of America. Thank you, Father, for giving us the opportunity to gather as a church family, the fellowship at Parkside, to worship you. And Father, we gather in this place wanting you, God, to speak to us. God, thank you for your word. We pray that as we look at Matthew 5, 13 through 16, that God, the light will go on in our mind to help us to understand who we are in you. God, I pray this morning as I stand here to preach. God, I know who I am. God, I know I'm the guy that you've chosen to be here at this place today. God, I pray you'd use me. Lord, so please, God, fill me with your sweet Holy Spirit. Father, please give me that heavenly unction. For it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray, and it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I preach. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. On October the 2nd, 1864, one of the worst battles of the American Civil War was fought. On that day, 2,800 Confederate soldiers squared off against 4,500 Union soldiers, and the battle went down as one of the worst atrocities that had ever occurred upon American soil. After a day of intense fighting, shots continued throughout the night, muffling the cries of injured and dying soldiers, and that battle was fought for a strategic reason. You might think that that particular battle was fought for the wrong reason, but that battle on that particular day was fought over a mineral. It was a mineral that was so valuable that more wars have been fought over it than gold or silver ever had been. You see, that Civil War battle that was one of the bloodiest battles in American history was fought over salt. It occurred in Saltville, Virginia, which so happened to be the largest supplier of salt to the Confederate Army. We live in a needy world, a world that needs salt. And I want to announce to you this morning that you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And that's what our Lord is speaking to us about in this day. The world needs salt. The world needs people that carry a preservative effect into our society. The world needs a people that would cause hunger and thirst for the gospel and for a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is why we are here. We are here to be salt. We are here to be light. Just as the world needs salt, the world needs light. Those that shine the darkness and show it away to have eternal life found only in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So as we look at this particular text today, we're going to think about that particular subject of salt and light and see the role that God would have us play in regard to it. I want us to look at it in regard to three different ways. There are three points that I want to show you this morning. The first of which is this particular point, our great privilege. Notice what the text says, the Bible says, about our great privilege. And you see that in the Word of God in verses 13 and 14. Pay particular attention to it. Now, we have the English translation of the original language. The original language speaks to us in Greek. And when we have the New Testament and we read the New Testament, we understand that it's simply a translation from the Greek language that the Word of God came to us in the most part in the New Testament. And we know, those of you that have ever studied the Greek language, you know that it is a beautiful language. It is a language that is very flowery. It is a language that is very, very expressive. It is much more flowery and much more expressive than the English language that you and I have. A simple word mentioned in the Greek language sometimes causes us to translate it in such a way that it requires a sentence to just translate one little word. And this is what we find here in this passage of Scripture in the Sermon on the Mount. And we look at verse 13 and we look at verse number 14. We see some very important words. Now, there are several tenses in the Greek language. And what we need to understand that in the Greek language, it lets you know what the emphatic, the most important word is in a sentence, in a line. And we see the emphatic, the most important word in this passage of Scripture is the word that we see in these verses. You ready for this? You. You. That's the emphatic word that we see in this passage of Scripture. The emphatic word is you. Okay, you get that? You are very important in the mind eye of our Heavenly Father. You are the salt of the earth, he says. He says, you are the light of the world. And so what that simply means in the English language, we probably could translate it this way. You and no one else are the salt of the earth. You and not another person is the light of the world. If this world is going to see salt, and if this world is going to see light, it is going to come from you and no one else. Right? Do you understand that? And so we have a great privilege here in this passage of Scripture. It lets us know what our great privilege is, and our great privilege is of being salt. You are the salt of the world. Only you. Now think about that. It doesn't talk about the preacher being the salt of the earth. It doesn't talk about your husband or your wife. It doesn't talk about your mom or your dad. It doesn't talk about your brother or your sister. It's not even speaking about the person that you are seated behind, beside, or in front of this morning. It is talking about you and no one else. You and no one else are the salt of the earth. Now, we know some things about salt. We understand and we recognize that salt can help slow down the rot and decay of this whole world. We know that salt acts as a preservative. And that you, living a righteous life, you help to slow down the decay of this culture and this society that we are living in. We need to understand that we are that preservative effect upon our culture, and we are that preservative effect upon our society. Sometimes we lament, right? Sometimes we lament the situation that the United States of America has fallen in. We shake our head and we think this world that we live in is a terrible world. And indeed, there are a lot of things in this world that we see and we understand that we don't appreciate, and we know that we are far, far away from God. And I recognize that and I understand that. But you know what else I recognize and I understand? I know a whole bunch of good and godly people that are living in this world. And I think, what would this world be like if the good and godly people that are living in this world would be pulled away from it? Oh, it would be a much, much, much worse place. What would a godless society be? It would be a society without any morals. It would be a society that people truly do have the freedom to do whatever it is they feel like they want to do. But honestly speaking, that's not the United States of America. Because you are there. You living godly produces a godly effect upon our society. You living to bring glory and to bring honor to our Heavenly Father produce a glorifying of God that is visible and demonstrable in our culture and our society. But please understand that that's your role. That's your responsibility. That is your job of being salt. As a Christian, your job, your responsibility is to make the world thirsty for the gospel. To make the world thirsty for Jesus. Do you do that? When people look at your life, do they think, man, I'm drawn closer to God as a result of viewing this person's behavior in our culture and in our society? That's a privilege that God has given to us. God has told us, you're my ambassador, right? You are my ambassador to our society and our culture. That is our privilege. Us and us alone are that thing. We have a privilege of being salt. But not only do we have a privilege of being salt, but the text also says you and you alone are the light of the world. You shine, you illuminate that which is to be seen. I did some cleanup this week. We have a room down in the basement that we store everything. Everybody probably has a room like that. That's not unique and peculiar to us, but in the basement is where we have our laundry room. And in our laundry room, we have just a lot of stuff down there. Much of it is put in plastic tubs. There are old clothes and Christmas decorations and just all kinds of stuff that's down in that room. Well, I had a project in my mind, and I'm thinking, I'm going to clean up this basement a little bit. Right? And so I began to put things away and stack things up a little bit straighter. And I've got a workbench that is down there, and there's some cabinets up in front of it. And that workbench was just cluttered with all kinds of junk. I couldn't use it in any way whatsoever. So I thought, I'm going to clean up this workbench. And so I opened up the cabinets, and you know what I found? I found a box of light bulbs. And there were four of them in a package. You know how they are. And I didn't know we had them. You know where those light bulbs were? Down in our basement. Still in the box. In a cabinet with the door shut. And I thought, knowing that I'm preaching to you, and knowing that you are the light of the world, I thought, now what good have these light bulbs been for me? You know what good they were for me? Not any good at all. You want to know why? Because they're still in a box. You want to know why? Because they're down in the basement. You want to know why? Because they're tucked in the back of a cabinet. There's no possible way that those suckers could have given out any light whatsoever. How could they light up any room in my house? How could they remove the darkness from any place that I had them? They were, I don't know, useless, sitting in a box. If I want them to be useful, you know what I need to do with those light bulbs? I need to turn them on. And then when you turn them on, what do? They illuminate. Because that's what light bulbs do. Light bulbs are not meant to be in a box tucked away in a basement. Light bulbs are meant to be on a lampstand, giving light to whatever area that they are in. Now, I want you to see what I'm trying to get you to see. You and nobody else are the salt of the earth. You and nobody else are the light of the world. What happens if we're not salty? What happens if we don't let our light shine? The second thing I want us to understand about this passage of Scripture is just that, our glaring problem, our glaring or our glowing problem, if you will. Look at your text again. Notice what it says here in verses 14 and 15. It says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Verse 15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. You see, we have a glaring problem. Our text tells us that you are the salt of the earth. But the salt, if it loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? One thing that we do understand is that salt is what? Okay, salt is salty. And this morning, if I had a glass of water, a gallon of water, and 5 gallons of water on the platform, right? And if I took out a tablespoon of salt, and I took that tablespoon of salt, and I put that tablespoon of salt in a glass of water, and I put a same tablespoon of salt into a gallon of water, and I put a same tablespoon of salt in 5 gallons of water, which one would be the most salty? Well, the glass, right? But they have the same amount of salt in it, right? Tablespoon of salt, a tablespoon of salt in a glass of water, a tablespoon of salt in a gallon of water, a tablespoon of salt in 5 gallons of water. But what's the difference? The difference is how diluted is the salt, right? Do you see what I'm trying to get you to see? If you're living for Jesus, you'll be like that salt in that salty water. if you drink it, it'd make you thirsty. But here's our glaring problem. Many of us are like, I don't know, putting a tablespoon of salt, and if I drove up to Lake Michigan and threw it in there, how salty would Lake Michigan be? You wouldn't be able to tell the difference, right? You see, that's our problem. That's our problem. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. But our salt has been diluted with so much other junk. Our light is lit, and then it's hidden in a place that others cannot see it. That is our problem. We are designed. God has orchestrated us to be an illuminating and a thing that is a preservative. And yet we hide our light, and we lose our saltiness. Our glaring problem is that we can become deluded by the world. Our glaring problem is we can become hidden from the world. God wants you to be salt. God wants you to be light. He wants you to make people thirsty with the gospel, but we fill our lives up with so much junk that we're not making people thirsty any longer. We have the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we hide it in the basement where no one can see it. We hide it away from the world where no one can see it. It's like we as Christians, we go into our closet and we glow and we light the closet up. But the problem is you're not designed to light the closet up. You're designed to be the light of the world. And we shine brightly. Our glaring, glowing problem is that we hide our light and we dilute our saltiness. Third thing I want you to see in this text this morning is a genuine priority. Our genuine priority. Look at your text. Notice what your text says here in verse number 16. It tells us in verse number 16 this. Let your light shine before men. All right, now make sure you get this next part. Let your light shine before men that they might see your good works. Let your light shine before men so that they might see your good works. And what is their response? Their response is, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So your saltiness, your light makes people thirsty for the Lord Jesus. Makes people see the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when they do, what does that do? That glorifies your Father which is in heaven. It's like putting makeup on God. God is beautiful. God is glorious. He truly is the best thing in this world. There's nothing better than a relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing greater than that. But you know, too many people in this world, they don't see him. They don't see how wonderful he is. They don't see how glorious he is. They don't see how fabulous it is to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. Simply because we don't make them thirsty for it. simply because we don't shine our lights in such a way that they see him. Friends, we truly want people to see how beautiful, how glorious our Father is. We want them to be able to see that so that they might glorify our Father, which is in heaven. And guess who are the only ones that can do that? You. You alone. You and no one else can help people see how beautiful God is. So here's a question for us to ponder. Each person in the room ought to be thinking about this. Is the way I'm living my life drawing people close to Jesus, making people thirsty for him? See, I've come to the conclusion that you're either drawing people closer to God or you're in a hindrance to keeping them from seeing how beautiful it is. I don't want to be that hindrance, and I know you don't either. So think about it this morning. Is your life being lived in such a way that you bring glory and you bring honor to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? That is our genuine priority, and God's called us to do that. Pray with me if you would. Heavenly